Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm excited to be with you today. Seeing so many thousands of people register for an event like this really inspires me. It obviously feels good that you're here to listen to me, but what's even more uplifting to me about it is what it says about you, and therefore about all of us and our world. This event is about integral evolutionary spiritual practice. It's about growth, which means that you all share with me a very basic insight, the understanding that this mysterious, amazing life is a school, one that is always teaching us lessons, and it keeps delivering the same essential lessons in new forms until we really learn them. So every moment of life gives us an opportunity to be smart, to either repeat the past or to graduate into something creative and conscious and new. So in every moment we can choose and make better choices and even better choices. And in that way, all of life can be practice. So you didn't come here just looking for a quick fix, a solution to a problem. You're not just hoping to get rich or lose weight or buy a magic pill. You came here because you're interested in authenticity, in living consciously, in waking up from the trance that tends to define life and reality for so many people. And that's why I find the fact that you're listening to this right now really moving. The fact that so many of us are authentically interested in exploring real evolutionary practice, that's a very hopeful sign about what's emerging in consciousness right now. So just briefly, I want to acknowledge who's listening here. I know there are quite a number of people right here, right now, who are very advanced already in your own spiritual practice, maybe having practiced for decades. And there are also a lot of you who are already doing a lot to make the world a better place. And I know we have quite a few therapists, coaches, consultants, and teachers who are working to help others evolve. And I also know that there are some people who are current or former activists and some social entrepreneurs, people doing significant work to make the world a better place. And I also realize there are a lot of us who are in transition, moving from one phase of life to another, who really want to make the next phase of our lives conscious, happy, and true. And I know there are also a lot of us who are just deeply curious and sincerely interested in doing our own spiritual work with a sense that that's a big part of what's going on to serve the world and to move evolution forward. Since it's obvious that we are not going to be able to solve our larger world's problems with the kind of consciousness that created those problems. So whether you're a spiritual seeker, a student of the school of life, an activist, a leader, an evolutionary, someone who's already awakened significantly, or somebody who's just simply looking to awaken more to who you are and why you're here, it's a true honor to be able to be with you and to share some of what I've been learning in my teaching work. When I was just 22 years old, I joined a spiritual community with a powerful, awakened spiritual master in whose presence I was relieved of the sense of problem and suffering in which I felt trapped at that time. So I gave my whole life over to my teacher and the practices that he taught, living the 24/7 life of an ashram monastic for most of the next 15 years. My daily spiritual training started when I opened my eyes in the morning, and it didn't end until I let go into sleep at night. Our practice is related to every breath, every bite, every thought, every feeling, and every moment of every day, literally every aspect of my life. And in that process, I had mind-blowing experiences of illumination. My heart, my whole being overflowed with love. I really did get what I came for. I was released into profound experiences of non-separate unity with the divine nature of all existence. But even so, after some years, as my practice matured, strains began emerging in my relationship with the ashram. Over the years, our community had become more conformist, more focused exclusively on the guru. It was a profoundly deep, but increasingly narrow expression of what I intuited spiritual life could be. So I began wondering, what am I really doing to connect with and serve the rest of the human community? How can I live the radical spiritual consciousness to which I've been awakened in a way that tangibly connects with and contributes to the wider world? Well, it took me years to fully acknowledge and resolve my conflicted feelings and perceptions, but eventually I could no longer deny them. And I remember that moment of hesitation, while sitting with my teacher as his formal student for the last time. I knew that if I left that room, I would not only be leaving my beloved master, but really my whole world, including all my friends, my whole life, the only life I had known for 15 years, would change irrevocably. And on the other hand, I could stay, obeying somewhat childishly, feeling conflicted and false, suppressing my intuitive awareness in order to avoid the pain of separation. And so I did the only thing I could do. It was getting late. I had to go. But it would have been unthinkable to leave the gathering until my teacher did first. Yet somehow I knew it was my time. So I took a deep breath. I stood up and walked slowly to the door. I turned to face my teacher for what I knew might be the last time. And he was as radiant and brilliant and beautiful as ever. So I opened my heart, breathing thanks and a loving farewell, and I bowed deeply, and then turned, pushed open the door, and walked out into the cool night air. It was a real holy jumping-off place for me. I didn't know it at the time, but what I was called to do at that moment was not really to reject my previous spiritual life, but to take real responsibility for it in a much bigger context, and to engage some aspects of life in applied spirituality that I needed to face and engage. I started my family. I founded a business and began to grow it. And all of this had to happen outside the world I had known, without being surrounded and supported by a like-minded community. In fact, what I had to learn to do first was to let go of all my assumptions and let myself be turned inside out. Whereas in the ashram, I'd thought career and family, you know, didn't matter much. Now I felt the real ways in which they were primary. So I questioned everything. I kind of deprogrammed myself. There were some incredibly anguished moments in which I broke down and wept, surrendering to the horrifying possibility that, in a way, I had been duped and exploited and had wasted all those years. I let go of all my assumptions, and in my darkest moments, I felt betrayed at the deepest levels of my being. At some of those times, I lost contact with that spiritual understanding I'd previously known and landed, at least for moments, in the most flat, ordinary, day-to-day level of existence. But I had learned some things. I learned that it didn't work to hide from anything, and that disorienting pain could very well be a part of coming to deeper honesty and clarity. And that was a big part of what catapulted me through a series of insights and awakenings and deep transformations that really changed my relationship to the path and to myself. I had to give up my spiritual ego and come full circle. And eventually my connection with the divine mystery really did open up profoundly. I discovered ways to reconnect with grace and at the same time to be committed in time and space to manifest my life intentions as tangible results. So I worked to build my company slowly and steadily, staying at it for over a decade, and eventually it had not only succeeded, but I was able to find a buyer for it and made a very successful sale of that company. There were many initiations, breakthroughs, ordeals, and awakenings along the way, and they led me back to the center of the bullseye, to what really matters most. A series of especially rich breakthroughs began some years later when I was asked to join the great integral philosopher Ken Wilber and an amazing team of people to help design and present the first Integral Institute seminars and to co-create Integral Life Practice. We pioneered some amazing innovations. In the process, feeling how important it was to walk my talk, I refreshed, redesigned, and intensified my own daily practice. I felt called to research the history of both traditional and modern forms of spiritual practice and personal development. I read voraciously and practiced with real purpose and intention. In the process, I spent 2 years doing the original integral transformative practice with Michael Murphy and George Leonard, who were icons of the human potential movement and among the first explorers of integral practice. George and Michael told me that when they hosted the first transformational weekend seminars at Esalen, they thought the whole world would change. Participants had mind-blowing insights. Their hearts cracked wide open. People connected with a higher power and, through tears of ecstasy and gratitude, swore their lives would never be the same. But then just a week or so later, those same folks had gone pretty much back to where they started. The transformations didn't stick. No matter how long the intensive was, after a few days or a few weeks or a few months, the effects eventually wore off. They returned to their old habitual patterns. George and Michael reached the conclusion that the masters of the ancient mystical paths were right. There is no quick fix. It takes ongoing practice of a genuine transformational lifestyle to experience the real fruits of practice. And at Integral Institute, we agreed. A whole life of practice is the only way to sustain transformation. Not only does sustainable transformation require a whole life of practice, though, it also requires a practice that includes all of life, inner and outer, mind, spirit, psyche, not just personal, but also in our relationships. Otherwise, whatever is left out will come back to bite us, and we'll find ourselves back at square one in relation to that dimension of life, confused, seeking, and therefore unable to sustain our 100% commitment to practice. In other words, what's really needed isn't only practice, it's a truly integral practice. And in the process of submitting to that, it clicked. And I got it, intellectually, emotionally, and even somatically, how revolutionary truly integral practice is, how it integrates all of what had previously seemed like disconnected aspects of my life, spirituality, work, relationships, social responsibility. Everything is one thing. And suddenly, it was obvious to me in an embodied way, in the cells of my body, that this emerging field of integral practice is alive and evolving and essential. And the world needed us. It needed us to be integral practitioners, and that work needed my help. So a strong sense of calling arrived. And then Ken Wilber asked me to help him create the book, Integral Life Practice, a 21st Century Blueprint for Physical Health, Emotional Balance, Mental Clarity, and Spiritual Awakening, of which I was the senior writer. And in the two-year process of writing it with Ken and my other two co-authors, Adam Leonard and Marco Morelli, my bigger vision of integral practice clarified, and you can see some of it in the rich textures of that book. I was teaching integral practice, first in the San Francisco Bay Area and eventually all over the world. And the more deeply I explored the potential of integral practice, the clearer my vision became. For one thing, I was seeing people's lives transforming, and I started to make discoveries about what it was that made that transformation stick. And I applied those learnings, not just in my teaching, but in my own life. And the nature and power and the key features of an integral spiritual practice really crystallized in my understanding. Part of it depends, of course, on us actually doing a daily practice. Part of it depends on us realizing deeply that all of life is practice and embracing it in that spirit. And part of it depends on us getting clear about the kinds of subtle, insidious misunderstandings that I want to tell you about today. Most of all, it depends on us combining ourselves authentically and completely from the heart, in practical terms, intelligently and feelingly, with the very source of our creativity and joy through a truly integrated, integral spiritual practice. We will not and cannot get the same results just by pulling together a hodgepodge of practices from the ancient paths, even including modern scientific insights and physical exercise. The transformative power of an integrated spiritual practice is far more than just the sum of its parts. It all becomes fully integrated into a single whole, a seamless garment. Well, at a certain point, things also really came together, and I dropped into a whole new level of essential certainty, of rested clarity and simple joy. The dynamic process of giving my gifts to the world that had seemed light years away when I was enduring the anguish of leaving the ashram. I was filled with love and gratitude at being able to help others on the path make the momentous transition from being a seeker to being a practitioner, an integral practitioner, at this key moment in human evolution. So I've been on the case ever since, and the process has just kept deepening and accelerating. In doing the work of bringing the integral life practice teachings down into the actual nitty-gritty challenges that come up in people's daily lives, I've learned a lot about how to convey the core spirit and teach the key moves that enable us to change our behaviors, to sustain those changes, and to unleash the transformational power of integral practice. I've discovered how to communicate it in a practical step-by-step system, one that actually meshes with our incredibly busy lives, but doesn't sacrifice any of the nuance or depth or intensity of profound spiritual wisdom and practice. Perhaps most of all, I've become very clear about the subtle and all too common misunderstandings that thwart our progress on the path and undermine our most sincere efforts. So that's what I really want to speak with you about tonight. I want to share with you some core insights into the five spiritual myths that sabotage your conscious evolution. The thing about these five myths is that they're not absolute untruths or outrageous lies. In fact, they all emerge from profound and important deep truths, but they distort or confuse the implications of those truths in ways that create tremendous confusion and ultimately unhappiness, preventing the real evolutionary transformation that we and our whole world so deeply need. So the way this is going to work is that I'll say just a little more about the context for this integral approach to spiritual practice. And we'll take a minute to breathe and focus, and then I'll unpack these five myths. They are, number one, the myth of personal enlightenment. Two, the myth that we're already doing the best we can. Three, the myth of the one true path. Four, the myth of heroic spirituality. And five, the myth of going it alone. At the end of the call, I'll take a few minutes for those of you who are interested to let you know how you can begin practicing an integral spiritual path. And I know we only have a limited amount of time together here today, so I'll offer you the richest perspectives I can with the time we have. Even though what I'm describing is something I usually teach through an in-depth program, with the time we have together now, I'm going to give you a shift in perspective that you can begin to apply right now to activate and integrate your spiritual life in immediate and tangible ways. Now, the context for everything I'm going to speak about today is that something is beginning to awaken within many of us right now. A new sense of calling is emerging within us and between us, and it has some exciting and profound dimensions to it. Part of it is arising from the tension we feel when we look at the state of things in the world. But the other part is a sense of inspiration. We're feeling called to find a healthy response to this critical inflection point in the course of human evolution and to actualize our potentials. And in doing so, to come together with a whole new spirit as a new kind of community. And we realize that the higher order energy and clarity and commitment that's called for in our time really requires transformation, which means a deep spiritual practice. History, time and again, shows that trying to make a real difference without it is unsustainable. It only leads to burnout. Consider these remarkable people: Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, Aung San Suu Kyi. They all have something in common. They all started or start the day, every single day, with time spent in deep spiritual practice. And each one of them has credited that daily practice as the key resource, the secret weapon that has given them the wisdom, clarity, and energy to be and act from a place of love, courage, clarity, and vision. Integral spiritual practice is designed specifically to go beyond the limitations inherent in partial paths. It's a way, simultaneously, to keep landing in your own shoes, in your own skin, in your own humanity, and to serve consciously and responsibly the evolution of consciousness and culture. So let's begin now by tapping into the powerful creative source that's making all of this possible. So please join me. Let's take a few deep breaths and center ourselves. Breathing deeply. In and out. And as we breathe, relax and release. And see if you can just forgive yourself for taking on the stress of this fragmented and chaotic world a little bit. And see if you can also appreciate yourself for the sincerity and the intelligence and the courage that you do live. And allow yourself to open and accept any aspirations that you have, even ones that you haven't yet realized. I'd like you to try and welcome the voices within yourself that are saying, that's just the way it is. There's no way you can go beyond living a contradicted, compromised existence. See if you can open yourself just a bit further to the infinite possibilities that you know are also possible within you and without you. It's okay for you to simply welcome all of that and be with it all at once. You don't have to make anything go away. And now, ask yourself, might it be possible for you to hear the voices of limitation in a friendly way that still doesn't believe them? Ask yourself if you could just let them go. Could you let go of the belief that there's something in the way of you living a life of practice and commitment? That there's anything in the way of creating a new life pattern and habit of actually awakening? Could you let go of the belief that there's anything stopping you from destroying false assumptions, from seeing through the confusions that keep your life veering toward fragmentation? Could you let go of the idea that there's anything keeping you from investing your energy in making the highest, smartest, healthiest, and most enlightening choices from now on, starting now, today, tomorrow, the day after that? Allow yourself to be with these voices and their objections, to let them flow through, to be gently released. And as you do, allow yourself to feel your own inner well-being and energy rising in response. Can you imagine the possibilities? Thank you. So, the first myth of spiritual life that I want to tell you about is the myth of personal enlightenment. As I said earlier, there's a deep truth at the heart of this. And that is, spirituality is more than a mere belief. Profound conscious awakening is real and possible. There really is an intentional, esoteric, meditative process that can uplift and transform your state of consciousness and your whole relationship to life. You can indeed align your consciousness and life with spiritual truths, apply yourself to spiritual practice, and authentically awaken. And that's very good news, and it's important to appreciate that deep truth. But unfortunately, even our purest intentions can be co-opted by the ego. It subtly twists higher truths, leading to terrible confusion. In essence, the truth that has the power to set us free can end up being the very thing that subverts our progress. How this happens is that our idea of enlightenment or spiritual evolution, even if it's an accurate idea, tends to function as a metaphysical belief. And like any belief, it can become a fixed part of your identity. As this happens, your focus on spiritual growth and enlightenment subtly becomes just another way to succeed, to glorify your self-image, to accessorize the ego. In other words, spiritual ideas can become the basis for avoiding relationships, acting like a jerk, thinking you're superior, and subtly avoiding the real challenges and opportunities in life, your real needs, your real aspirations, your humanity. Eventually, that will leave you filled with regret and confusion. One of my students, a busy medical professional named Mary, had spent most of her life seeking spiritual truth and higher consciousness. But her approach was very mental and conceptual. She was meditating, but this myth of personal enlightenment had her efforting in a way that eventually became pretty dry and mechanical. She'd meditate and feel calmer and clearer, but she'd get up from sitting and still be pretty much trapped in her mind. Her life was somewhat clearer, but still kind of flat and dreary. Just several weeks of regular integral spiritual practice, she began to feel like her long dormant heart was getting nourished again, filling up like a sponge, coming back alive, sprouting, blossoming anew. Her inner life, her feeling life, which since childhood had been trained to become kind of drab and lifeless, with her realigned orientation to practice, became a full technicolor 3D affair once again. She found herself able to really feel in a way she hadn't for many years. She even found herself weeping with joy, so glad to be alive, to be in touch with the unspeakably precious tenderness of this miraculous existence. To awaken from the myth of personal enlightenment, we need to realize that true spiritual life is not going to result in the personal fulfillment of our ego. Real spiritual life isn't even about personal fulfillment. It's about giving our all. It's about surrender and even, God forbid, sacrifice. Inspired by the words of the wonderful poet Jennifer Wellwood, when you realize this, you stop making deals for an illusory, safe passage. We grow up and embrace the heartbreakingly beautiful real life like a ripe human being, grieving our losses, able to face not just the good, but also the bad, the ups, the downs, all of life and death with an open heart. Okay, let's pause here so that you can feel into this difference right now. Feel into what it might be like for you to live your life in practice with your feet firmly grounded in the lesson of life and death, with an appreciation for the miracle and mystery of existence and of life, with authentic, unreasonable happiness, with innate joy alive in your heart. Not seeking some enlightenment, not glorified by your spirituality, not despairing of it, not imagining that life is about your fulfillment, not armored against the incredibly heartbreaking tenderness of this life, not numb, not disconnected from the opportunity to drop down, open, and deepen in your consciousness. Not unable to act now in the ways that enable you to grow in feeling the miraculous gift of life, of this day, of this breath. Not unable to keep discovering and opening to the incredible, inexpressible mystery of existence. Not held back from life, but opened up, awakened, potentized. What would that be like? This is the potential we tend to become cut off from when we've subtly bought in to the myth of personal enlightenment. The second myth is the myth that we're already doing the best we can. Now, the deep truth behind this myth is that everyone, and I mean everyone, including ourselves, truly deserves and merits our non-judgmental respect and deepest compassion. And yet research shows that the voices inside people's heads generally tend to be negative, judgmental and harsh. And unfortunately, one of the big things that keeps us from living our highest ideals and attaining our very best goals is this relentless, distorting self-negativity. The brain has an inbuilt negativity bias. So it's deeply important that we accept ourselves, warts and all, and self-compassionately relax the constant barrage of negative judgments from our inner superego critic. But this truth about self-compassion is often misinterpreted to mean that we should just relax and accept ourselves exactly as we are instead of wholeheartedly expending healthy effort to be and realize our total potential and be our very best. The nub of the error here is that self-compassion isn't an either-or proposition. Yes, it's important to self-compassionately honor and accept our whole selves, warts and all. And it's equally important to pay attention to the gap between our highest best and our current way of being. Real practice is all about learning to do that in a way that is both psychologically healthy and transformational. And to do this without rejecting one or the other. A healthy practitioner lives all of life as a sincere student in the school of life, the school of evolution itself, always connected to his or her essential okayness, but never complacent, never assuming that what he or she is already doing is sufficient, but instead always curious, hopeful in the healthiest sense that he or she will become aware of a way to raise the bar, to close the gap, to show up in the next moment or the next opportunity with more awareness and excellence and compassion, to be more fully awake, radiant, and present. This idea that we're all already doing the best we can goes hand in hand with a parallel truth that also tends to trip us up. Everything is perfect just as it is. Now that's a radical, profound, and liberating spiritual truth. Indeed, everything that is. There's no quarreling with it. And there is a total perfection in it. And yet it's simultaneously true that there is a lot that we could do well to be changing. We're called to radically relax into the perfection of everything as it is, and also embrace our attraction to the higher possibilities that we know are possible for us if we just align to them. And if we can do that, our anxiety and sense of false urgency can relax, and we can get in touch with the fact that everything, ourselves included, truly is perfectly okay, exactly as it is. So when we release ourselves from the myth that we're doing the best we can in this liberating way, our brain chemistry and our neurological state can shift profoundly. Our whole physiology begins to come into balance. Our judgment improves, our belly relaxes, our sense of well-being and personal power returns. We no longer have to choose between self-acceptance and the commitment to grow and evolve. And then on a much higher plane, we can become so deeply grounded in that well-being that we liberate our natural urge to help others, to serve, to love, to be an expression of evolution. Myth number three is the myth of the one true path. And the deep truth at the center of this myth is that when you make contact with a true teacher or an authentic path, authentic dharma, everything can change. You don't have to seek anymore once you're really in touch with the source of awakened consciousness, freedom, and energy inherent in being and life itself. And if you're so fortunate as to come upon such a powerful spiritual connection, it's only natural for you to honor that connection and live the truth of it. It's such a great relief. A true teacher or path really does simplify your mind, really does enable you to focus on building practice momentum instead of constantly recalculating and resetting your course. But the funny thing is that even a true teacher or a path can be used by the ego as a hiding place, a place to hang out and go unconscious. Because life keeps evolving. You keep evolving. And no path by itself is ever the only true path. In fact, I've come to understand that the greatest creative synergy among sincere creative practitioners of many paths is key to the next phase of human evolution. So this myth of the one true path can express itself in very obvious ways, the true believer who's very rigidly clinging to a certain path, but it also has quite a subtle dimension to it. For example, one of the reasons that we come to a teacher in the first place is to see what an example of a liberated human body-mind looks like, to be inspired by such an attainment, and also, in a sense, to template off that higher demonstration of humanity. We're naturally attracted to what I sometimes will call a rare specimen, that luminous being who just seems to be graced by God for who knows what reason. But focusing on that special glow, that shine, can also create a distortion field, because most of us are not destined to become such rare specimens, at least not in that sense. Certainly, we each have important and unique gifts, but most of us are a bit bruised or twisted this way or that by the traumas and accidents of our lives and our psychogenetics. I've often thought that all human beings are a little like bonsai trees, or maybe cartoon characters. We're all just a little bit crooked or gnarled this way or that. And no matter how much or how intensely we practice, some of that is not going to be completely eliminated. It doesn't have to be. But that's not always acknowledged. What tends to happen is that people around these rare specimen teachers will conclude, gee, if I was really doing it the way I'm supposed to, I'd be just like that wonderful teacher up there, and I'm clearly not. So I guess I must not be doing it hard enough or consistently enough, or I must have heavy karmas, or I'm not doing it right. And what began as an exploration of the true path or ideal example ends up putting us in a vice grip of feeling like there's something defective about us. Instead of being liberated to realize our highest and best possibility, we can end up feeling kind of discouraged about our own potential and possibility. The exact opposite of what is really the point. So one of the things that gratifies me most in my work as a teacher is seeing how much suppressed evolutionary energy can be liberated when people find their way out of this trap to a truly radical, grounded, democratic, realistic, sane, human, evolutionary, integral spiritual practice. So while there is, in fact, no such thing as the one true path, there are such things as partial paths. And we tend to get caught into even the truest in ways that make them partial. So by dispelling this myth, we're discovering at this critical moment in cultural evolution that one of the challenges of our time is to evolve our traditional and modern spiritual paths to make them truly integral and whole. And in this way, we can really deeply value our great lineages of Dharma and our amazing awakened teachers, and to raise them up by informing our way of interacting with them with a truly integral orientation. Letting go of this idea of the one true path, you make room for a living, breathing, evolving practice that is compassionate, embodied, and grounded in community. Myth number four is the myth of heroic spirituality. This myth is based on the deep spiritual truth that each of us, in every moment, has an opportunity to exercise choice and even creativity. It's based in the truth that if we're going to grow, we have to make good choices. We have to wake up, make healthy commitments, and keep them, and do that again and again. And this takes real persistence, willpower, and in ways there's something very noble about that. It can feel heroic. But this very important truth is often mistaken for the whole truth, the bottom line. And, of course, it's really not. You see, if you take this truth as the only truth, the whole truth, then spiritual practice really is a heroic affair. You need to get tough, tune into a higher principle, and conform yourself to it, relentlessly hold yourself to it 24/7. But the trouble is, that doesn't really work. My friend Samuel Bonder calls this the hyper-masculine error. It's the idea that you can embrace an ideal and reject everything that doesn't conform to it. But when you draw such an absolute line between the good and the bad, the higher and the lower, parts of yourself inevitably are below the line, and you begin to become self-divided in a way that's not healthy or enlightened. And you either can press yourself beyond that and be good, but be holding all this tension and self-divided, or you can't, and you feel bad and feel like a failure. Either way, you do harm to important parts of your being. So this is another of the great contributions of integral consciousness. It gives us a way to hold the paradoxical nature of things so that we don't end up split off from big parts of ourselves. Unfortunately, we barely ever notice this because our whole society is so hyper-masculine. Our whole culture celebrates the light side of our character and shuns or shames the dark side. It's so pervasive that it's actually invisible to us. So we easily slide right into this higher species of self-violence. It's not our fault, but it is deadly. We blindly drive this split ever deeper into what really are the most tender, sacred parts of our being, complicated and corrupting our relationship to what is most holy. In the name of the highest of truths, we inadvertently step on parts of our own heart. That never leads to freedom. So when this divisive process becomes clear to you and you've really let go of this myth of heroic spirituality, you can begin to authentically combine your complete being with your highest intuition and your self-transcending intentions. And what awaits you there is the rare and beautiful alchemical process of integrated divine humanity, true healing, integration, liberation. It's a key element in the medicine of integral spiritual practice. Let's move on to the fifth and last spiritual myth, the myth of going it alone. We all know that we're each personally responsible for our lives and therefore for our spiritual practice. And this is the deep truth that underlies the myth of going it alone. Only you can choose. Only you can invest in practice. You alone. And only you will enjoy the returns of your practice and what you put into it. Only you can wake up or not. But this truth can be wrongly interpreted to mean that spiritual growth is an every man for himself or every woman for herself endeavor. And what makes that conception so problematic is that we're living in a time when we're really being called to something that transcends our separation. We're called to become a new kind of human being in a way that we can only do together in community. And we're communicating with each other more intensively than ever before, yet we're fiercely independent, post-postmodern, rugged individualists, yet we still experience an incredible longing for connection. We're lonely. A deep spiritual yearning pervades our culture. Even as we grow, it gets worse. And yet we're being asked and invited by life now to find each other in a new and deeper and collective way, to become the kind of sangha or community of practice that can evolve into the new kind of Buddha that our world is crying out for now. We can do that for the sake of all sentient beings. And it meets our needs because we are feeling that loneliness. But ironically, it's a time in which the mind of the time creates this epidemic of do-it-yourself systems for personal growth. The antidote for this individually driven isolation is right in front of us. We humans are social creatures. We need each other, not just for what others give us, but for what we can give to them. That feeling that comes when you connect with somebody who truly gets you in all your spectacular, multidimensional, quirky beauty, and someone who's awake and shares your highest commitments and ideals, that's amazing. And when you can see them and they change, that's electric. An enormous leap beyond the ordinary is possible when you sincerely extend yourself to support someone else, someone who's sincerely practicing in essentially the same terms that you are. That's one of the greatest aspects of integral spiritual practice, the collective dimension of conscious evolution. So we have to take a risk and step out of the comfortably numb cocoon of my life, my practice, my career, my evolution, my destiny, and enter into the potent and mysterious we space that is serving the evolution of everyone on the planet and calling us to become a conscious co-participant. But we won't take that leap except being very clear about how do-it-yourself spirituality tends to lead to narcissism rather than what we're really looking for. So let's take a moment to just be with what is happening right now and get in touch with each other, with the vibrant collective that's right here, right now. You're listening to my voice, and thousands of other people are too. We're all here together. And even if you're listening later to the recording, you're part of us too. All of us are together in a shared field that transcends time and space. So, let's resonate together. Let's take a deep breath. Please relax and open and bring your attention to the center of your chest. It can help to even put your hand on your heart for a moment and breathe to and from your heart. Can you soften and open your heart right here, right now? Can you find a feeling of sincere appreciation there? Appreciation for yourself first. Appreciating just that you're here, that you're caring to grow. Then appreciation for others who are caring to grow, just like you. We're all breathing. We're all here together. Appreciating the fact that all these other human beings who are with us right now, all of us here are sincerely, curiously investigating what it is to awaken from these myths that tend to bind us. Can you find a feeling of sincere appreciation in your heart that lots of us are orienting in this way, sincerely? Let that appreciation wash through your body, all through the body, and then extending out through the skin, radiating in all directions, out and out to infinity. Can you smile just a little, imagining that all of this is radiating as goodwill and blessings, a kind of essential welcome to the others that are here with you, your intangible blessing of goodwill. You imagine receiving the blessings of everyone else. Can you imagine that all of us might be in the process of opening into connection with a larger human community of practice? Thank you so much. When we actually engage in integral spiritual practice, we learn to dwell in this place within ourselves and also in direct communication and support of one another. We create a culture where we're actually interested in learning from each other instead of manipulating or practicing one-upsmanship or defending ourselves. It's a culture in which we're learning to speak our truth humbly and vulnerably, where we're learning to be better listeners and real helpers, to be for each other, and honoring the gifts of listening that others give to us. A friendly competition of how can we bless one another more. This culture isn't a new way to feel superior, like in the myth of personal enlightenment. It's a culture that we can recreate and keep earning our place in, again and again, in every moment, every day. That just requires the inner resources to reflect, to commit ourselves, to forgive ourselves and refresh ourselves again and again, to practice, and to do that even when we don't feel like it, and to cultivate the strength to act when we would tend to hold back. Now, if you're feeling inspired to change the course of your life by diving deeper into the kind of truly integrated practice I've just been speaking about, that's exactly what I want to invite you to do right now, to let you know about an opportunity to experience it for yourself, to take a leap and join me to discover how to transform your life with integral spiritual practice. If you're listening online and you're looking at the webcast page, you can just click the link that says visit the Integral Spiritual Practice course page. Or you can go directly to your browser, open up a new tab, and type in ispcourse.com. ispcourse.com. And if you're not in front of your computer right now, no problem. I'm going to go through everything and give you an overview of exactly how the Integral Spiritual Practice 8-session course works and how you can make use of it. For this course, I've put together an optimized step-by-step program utilizing cutting-edge transformational principles and online learning technologies that will give you not just the information and the tools, but also the inspiration and all the details to start really living a daily, doable, truly integral spiritual practice that's built for our busy world. In these 8 course sessions, you'll be able to make a series of critical shifts in your life, shifts that can produce radical changes in your relationship to yourself, others, and all of life. And I've created this course so that each weekly session represents a new essential area of focus that provides key distinctions and important learnings. Each course session is designed to drive you closer to the radical shift in your life and practice that you're looking for. So, on ispcourse.com, scroll all the way down until you see the words, what you'll learn. And then you'll see it says, Session 1, Learning the Secrets of a Daily Practice that Sticks, the Foundations of Integral Spiritual Practice. In Session 1, I introduce you to the foundational perspectives of integral practice that will help you deeply connect to why you're on the spiritual path in the first place, and will help you open to the humble and beautiful sense of awe and wonder at the core of existence. Previous course graduates describe this session as a profoundly heart-opening event that connects them to the innocent heart of gratitude that radiates joy into all areas of life, and that translates that into tangible behaviors that you'll start doing right away. When you take that step, a transformation will begin, a shift from being a seeker, one who's always looking but never finding, to a practitioner, someone who consciously faces the difficulties and confusions of life and continually makes intelligent, grounded, heartfelt choices that enact sanity and connection. You'll start becoming more and more in touch with the truth that initially inspired you to investigate spirituality in the first place. I think you'll experience a new level of confidence that comes from having a simple, regular practice, something that will actually ground you, uplift you, inform you, and begin to change the fundamental dynamics of your life and attention. Session 2, Building Your Unstoppable Momentum, the Practice of Living Beyond Limits, is when I'll teach you the 3 core principles of an integral spiritual practice, and we'll drop together deeply into the poignant living presence of life's amazing beauty and fragility. We'll also look at how accepting the ultimate facts of life and death can actually catalyze an unexpected, profound source of strength and joy. Course graduates have told me that the experience in this session of touching into the ultimate truths and the essential happiness underlying all of life brought them to an immediate and deeply empowering sense of relief and release. Something extraordinary happens when you discover your own radical happiness and connect to it with your deepest heart feeling. You get to let go and experience a profound opening to real compassion for yourself and for others, even in the face of the sometimes terrible realities of life. You'll also be able to quickly become free of feelings like guilt and doubt when they arise, so they no longer have the power to knock you off center, to lose track. If you scroll down a little further, you'll see session 3, tapping into the awesome energy of evolution, the practice of evolutionary creativity and emergence. Now, this is where we'll take a magical mystery tour through the amazing epic that we're all a part of, evolution. Here, I'll show you how to situate your life and practice within an evolutionary narrative. And you'll learn how you can realize and begin to tap in to the tremendous power of who you really are. Past students have described the experience of discovering the evolutionary impulse here as like awakening to the fact that all their lives have been riding a rocket, hurtling through an incredible adventure, and haven't even noticed it. And suddenly awakening to and reveling in the realization that their lives are ultimately connected intimately with the whole world's unfolding at the biggest evolutionary scale. The shifts brought about by this session of the Course will enable you to sense your life's mission, not in a hyped way, in a way that's rooted in deep peace and contentment, knowing that the choices you make truly matter, but feeling free to show up and play out your life's mission with spontaneity and playfulness and joy. Session 4 is called The Practice of Ever-Present Awareness. And in this session, we learn how to recognize and experience the ever-present, spacious, timeless, changeless awareness, the place where we always already are, no matter what we think is going on in our lives. We'll learn to do the practice of returning, awakening, again and again, into awareness in a way that will give you the ability to experience whatever turmoil life throws your way with sanity, grace, spaciousness, and poise. I think this is one of the most powerful sessions in the Course. Participants have told me many times that the experience of it is like a liberating awakening, a coming home that continues to support and sustain them long after the Course has ended. In session number 5, which is called Achieving Dynamic Balance in a Crazy World, the practice of navigating the whitewater of 21st century life, we'll look together at the wild distortions of our contemporary world. We'll examine the crazy level of amped up stimuli that surround us, while acknowledging the gnawing emptiness that often lies just underneath our busy daily experience. And we'll explore ways to surf that turmoil, to navigate it all consciously, and very importantly, to do so without numbing out. In fact, to awaken from whatever numbness has tended to creep in. I've been told that this particular session is a huge relief. It's like getting a diagnosis for a disease that you've been suffering but haven't known you had, the source of stress, suddenly makes it clear how to forgive, how to live with clarity in this crazy world without always going crazy themselves. Once you've got this map, you'll be able to self-compassionately navigate and intelligently resist the constant little signals that are tending to entrap people back into the overwhelming consensus trance of our modern, hyped, jagged consumer culture. So, moving on to session 6, our practice will focus on integral shadow and soul work. This is where we'll look at the hidden dynamics of fear, guilt, and especially shame, and how to liberate the energy held in shadow by those emotions, in part by realizing how universally human they are. Course graduates have told me that the experience of awakening into this kind of gentle, ongoing shadow work is like a burden being lifted off their back or a veil being lifted from their vision. They were suddenly freed from being unconsciously driven by the constricting power of thoughts and emotions from the past. When you discover this kind of shadow practice, you'll realize that you can so much more powerfully become your own best friend, truly, radically shifting the fundamental emotional quality of your relationship to the parts of yourself that previously might have seemed ugly, dark, unlovable, or embarrassing. In session number 7, Resetting Your Happiness Set Point, the practice of finding your radical yes to life, we'll get honest about our ambivalence about life, something that paradoxically opens us up to the radical happiness that comes from being able to embrace life fully. As we explore our fundamental relationship to life, we're often surprised by the mixed bag of emotions we find. But then when you reset your happiness set point, when you really do this process, you'll find you're able to walk through life with a deep and enduring peace and gratitude at your core, a gratitude and forgiveness that will become one of the central features of your engagement with the world. You'll see that you can always choose, and the little things won't faze you anymore, and the big ones won't either. Finally, in the last session, session 8, discovering your hidden sources of intimacy and support, the practice of integral spiritual community, we'll bring all of this right into the heart of community, which is where we always live, and that's where practice really takes root and grows. Course graduates describe how the discovery that they're truly always surrounded by an incredible community of fellow integral practitioners gifts them with a deep realization that they're not alone and never really could ever be alone. When you take this step, you will step into a different world, because now literally everything and everybody you encounter is a source of support, a powerful ally, and like you, a co-creator of our future. This course really is a transformational journey, a rebirth as an integral evolutionary spiritual practitioner entering into a whole new phase of your life, a whole new way of life, a whole new way of being you. One of the delights of this work is that occasionally I receive messages from past students whose lives have been forever changed as a result of these teachings. And I want to share with you what a few of them have written to me about the course. Lynn in Dallas, Texas wrote, "Since attending the Integral Spiritual Practice 8-week online course, I have changed nearly every aspect of my life. I found myself slowly shifting patterns I had built up over decades and breaking free of all that was not me. I have embarked on a new career, a new marriage, and a new sense of self." And here's one from Greg in Portland, Oregon. "The practices I learned in the Integral Spiritual Practice course have allowed me to pull down the light and get out of my own way, to see the chafing points clearly and to know why my emotions get jammed. It's like a light turned on in a dark room." And one more from Charlene in Singapore. "Having a simple daily practice has allowed me to be at deeper peace with my life. It has strengthened my body, focused my mind, nourished my spirit, and calmed my soul. This has meant being able to say yes to more of what enhances the journey and no to what hinders it." I love hearing stories like this, in which people have really embraced the teachings and their own true nature and are now living a more vital and impactful life. Now I'd like to give you some more details about the tools and support you'll receive with this 8-week course. So if you'll keep scrolling down on the webpage, find the section that says, "Here's what you'll receive." First of all, the course starts December 3rd and continues for 8 weekly sessions with a holiday break. You'll have the option to access the course sessions and materials in different ways. You can listen to the live broadcasts with other students, or you can download audio and video files and listen to them on your own. You'll also get PDF transcripts so you can work through the material in your own way and at your own pace. So if you want to participate in the course sessions live with other students, we'll be doing a live broadcast each week on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. And during these sessions, everybody on the course gets to listen together and share in the collective energy, and even do some sharing with one another after the broadcast. And then after that session, you're able to download the recording as well. And if you're the kind of person who likes to listen on the go, the recordings and the course sessions are available for download, so you can do that. Also, you'll get a PDF transcript of each class session. So for visual learners, you can read the content of each session, print them out, make notes, refer back. A lot of people find this very useful. We want to give you maximum flexibility so you can decide how it works best for you. And then for every course session, we'll also have a live Q&A coaching call with me. This is one of my favorite parts of the course. You'll be able to send in your questions or ask them live. I love the energy and interaction of getting to know you and help you with the practice. And the level of engagement in these sessions is always really rich and rewarding for everybody. Immediately after each of the course sessions and after the Q&A sessions, we have live guided interactive sessions during which we're going to work together or in smaller groups to explore and discuss the course material. During these sessions, you'll get to talk with other course members about the questions and issues you're experiencing in the course to help you really dig into the day-to-day experiences and challenges of living a truly integral spiritual practice. And they'll also allow you to develop supportive friendships with other course participants. One of the most important things I'll teach you on the course is my Integral 3D workout, which is a powerful, streamlined practice that I personally do every morning. I did it this morning. And you'll get downloadable videos that demonstrate this and other practices in detail, all created to help you jumpstart your daily practice. So many people have written me letters over the years expressing their thanks for this workout, describing its revolutionary effects on their mood and energy, and really the whole quality of the whole day. Plus, you'll get printable practice assignments and reflection questions that accompany each of the 8 course sessions. I created these contemplations and explorations to help you go as deeply as you can into the material and to help you integrate your learning. You'll also have unlimited access to our custom-built online community site where you'll have access to all the course materials and be able to engage with other students, share your discoveries, your breakthroughs, your triumphs, challenges, and to support other people on the journey. Being part of a vibrant practice community is really one of the highlights of the course experience. And for many people, it's where they get to form deep relationships that continue long after the course is over. Now, a really exciting part of this course is the guest faculty workshops. So scroll down the page until you see the exclusive bonus audio workshop section. Each of these workshops is a unique and rich resource for your transformational journey. I've specially selected each of these bonuses for you, and each one focuses on a specific area of practice where we typically need special support. The first bonus workshop is actually historically unique. It features my brilliant and enlightened friends and colleagues, the very famous Ken Wilber and Jean Houston, in a public conversation together for the first and only time I know of. It's entitled Integral Evolutionary Leadership: How Practitioners Will Change the World. And in it, we'll discuss the crucial role that real spiritual practitioners have in bringing about a new, sane, just, and sustainable world. I've been told again and again how inspiring this workshop has been for people. The second bonus is a live workshop that will feature the remarkable Austrian spiritual teacher Thomas Hubel, and it's called Radical Intimacy: The Practice of Enlightened Relating. If you're not already familiar with Thomas Hubel, he's one of the most exciting and progressive spiritual teachers around. In this live experiential workshop, Thomas will lead us all in the profoundly liberating group practice of transparent communication. We'll let go of our habitual self-focus and enter into the higher we, a collective field of heightened interpersonal clarity, intuitive aliveness, authentic expression, and the expansion of our collective intelligence. And Thomas will leave time to take your questions. This is a workshop that's truly not to be missed. The third bonus workshop is with two other brilliant friends of mine, Samuel Bonder and Diane Musho Hamilton. It's called Unleashing the Energy Held Captive by Shadow. And in it, we explore how what you don't know can hurt you. It can keep you from evolving into the fullest self you can be. In it, we provide techniques for you to work with your shadow and liberate the tremendous energy found there. Shadow work may be one of the least talked about, least well understood aspects of practice, but it's actually just as important as meditation in creating a sustained, awakened presence in the world. So you won't want to miss this one. Really powerful stuff. You can read more about all these bonuses at ispcourse.com. So keep scrolling down the page to where it says two ways to register. Now, I know many of us have spent thousands of dollars traveling to attend live seminars and retreats and workshops. In fact, in the past, if you wanted to work with me with this depth and intensity, you'd have to spend a significant amount of money in travel, lodging, and retreat fees. And even though I still offer those kinds of workshops and retreats, and I love them, I've specially created this course to happen online so that more people could get access to this powerful new habit of daily spiritual practice. Because we're offering this course in this virtual format, not only does it combine with your whole life, but we're able to make this in-depth transformational program available for a fraction of what a live workshop or retreat would cost that would be over so quickly. Thanks to the wonders of online learning technology and to our partner company, Evolving Wisdom, we're able to offer the entire program at a price we think can be affordable for almost anybody. So the whole course, the 8 course sessions, the Q&A sessions, the interactive calls, the online forum, the videos, guided meditations, guest faculty workshops, practice and reflection exercises, all of this is just $397. There's also an option to break that down into 3 separate payments of $147, which for some folks makes it a little easier to manage. I'm honored and really proud to be able to offer this course to such a wide audience. I have put my heart and soul and decades of learning into creating this program. So I wholeheartedly invite you to join me. I encourage you to say yes to getting the proper tools, the essential training, and the total support that you need to realize your deepest potential. Just select the payment option that works best for you, either the 3 monthly payments or the single payment of $397, and you'll be taken to our secure shopping cart to complete your registration. And while you're having a look at that, I also want to mention that it really helps our production team if we can anticipate in advance how many people will be participating in the course. You know, if you've ever planned a gathering, you know how important it is to get a good idea in advance of how many people will be showing up. Well, in the same way, if we can get a good idea of how many people we'll have in the course, we can be sure our technology and customer support resources are well prepared to serve you. So for anyone who registers for the course by midnight Pacific time, November 25th, I have a very special bonus for you. Awakening to the Natural State, a virtual meditation retreat. In August of 2013, my dear friend, Integral Enlightenment founder Craig Hamilton led 130 participants in a deep exploration of the practice of meditation and the presence, clarity, ease, and freedom that meditation can bring to our lives. This compelling 5-day immersion into the practice of meditation is being made available for the first time ever as a virtual retreat, exclusively for students enrolled in my upcoming 8-session course. Here's what you'll receive with your virtual retreat audio package: access to all 25 exclusive audio recordings from the retreat, including a variety of meditation practices exploring different themes and techniques, a special integration session to connect your meditation to real life and keep your practice evolving, a virtual retreat guide to help you plan, prepare, and organize your own personal retreat, and tips about the best way to prepare for intensive meditation. This virtual retreat is a beautiful way to experience the energy, insight, and structure usually only available in a live setting. You can listen to the whole series as an at-home retreat or integrate each practice and teaching individually into your own practice over time for ongoing inspiration and guidance. So, again, just scroll down the page to where you see the 2 ways that you can register, either the 3 monthly payments or the 1 payment of $397. In closing, I want to say that with this course, you know, we really wanted to give you everything that you need to support your awakening to the power of practice in your life so that you really will become the full embodiment of the person that you know you can be, the person you sense you can be in your clearest moments, the person you are in your best moments, so that you can have the kinds of relationships that you know you're here to have. Do the kind of work that you're here to do. Make the kinds of contributions so that you can express all your creativity and bridge the gap between the sense of possibility that you have and your ability to actually create a life that fully expresses it. So if you feel called to make that kind of a shift and to join me and your fellow practitioners, I encourage you to say yes. With this single choice, you'll be setting in motion a whole series of healthy choices in the future. This one decision puts a stake in the ground for a real transformation in your life, a shift into another octave. Register now and commit to getting the tools, the training, and the support that you really need. Say yes to this course and to life, and you'll be setting something powerful in motion. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I look forward to meeting you on the course and to supporting you on the next phase of your journey. Good night.